to look upon the one who bled to save.
You're listening to your good news station, WCNO Palm City.
Hello, I'm Daryl Orman, the pastor at First Baptist Church of Stuart. We're delighted that you've joined us today for our broadcast. We'd like to invite you to stay tuned as we present God's Word through worship and the Word.
I'm casting my cares aside. I'm leaving my doubts behind. I'm setting my heart and mind on you, Jesus. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. Today is the day you have made. I will rejoice and be glad in it. And I won't worry about tomorrow, giving you my fears and sorrows. Where you lead me, I will follow.
Please be seated. I'd like to invite you, if you're our guest today, just to fill out the little form here on the Heart publication and turn that in. And we'd love to know more about you. And then also like to invite you to our life groups on Sunday morning, getting an opportunity to know our people in a closer way and have relationships and fellowship with them as well. And then our first Monday men's prayer breakfast is coming up. And I want to encourage our men to take part in that at the Berry Fresh Cafe, May 4th. And then also coming up is the National Day of Prayer. And want to ask all of you to be in prayer that God would move in a supernatural way on our nation and that he would bring another awakening, which we desperately need. And just pray for that and intercede for that as well. Senior luncheon coming up. And that's going to be Tuesday, May 12th in the Fellowship Hall. Darren will be providing music for us. And Carl, let's give Darren a hand. And Carl Toth from the Maker's Box, it's a children's ministry, will be here. Some of our adults went, senior adults, and helped them put together some of these boxes that are made for children. It's kind of like a Samaritan's Purse type of ministry. And he'll be with us in light of the Mother's Day month. And so we're going to have a great time together, be in prayer for our VBS. And then we're having our last Wednesday night dinner, I think, is this week. Is that correct? One more? Okay. So we're going to be having this week, let's see, what is it? Baby back ribs. No. Meatballs, Swedish meatballs. That's where we take the rib and roll it up and then cook it. And so I want to encourage you to come and take part in that sumptuous feast with us on Wednesday night. And we have a devotion and we'll have a great time. In fact, this Wednesday night, our devotion is going to be brought by our tech leader, our staff member tech, David Goodman. He's up in the sound booth. Let's give David a hand. And he'll be bringing our devotion this week on Wednesday. Amen. Let's have a word of prayer together. Father, we just want to ask you, please, Almighty God, to move on our nation. We desperately need you. I want to apologize for myself and the entire nation, Lord, for not honoring you and glorifying you and recognizing you. We want to apologize for the disrespect that's given to you for everything you've done, starting with evolution, Lord, trying to explain away your magnificent creation, the order of it, the mathematics of it, the biology of it, the micro complexity of it. And we just want to ask you, please, Lord, to forgive us. You are Almighty God. You're the source and creator of everything. And we just want to acknowledge you today. and ask you, please, if you would, to do what only you can do, and extend your hand to illuminate the darkness that's prevailed over our nation. We pray, Lord, that you would bring such a convicting force of your Holy Spirit, if you would, another Pentecost, dear God, and just pour out a fresh pouring out of your Spirit on our nation. We do not deserve it, Lord. And we want to ask you out of mercy if you would extend it and if you would give it. And we just want to tell you we love you. We know it's your will to save. You're not willing that any should perish, but all should come to repentance. And just want to ask you, please, right now, if you would, to extend your hand. We pray today you'll start as we look in your word on how to pray for others, how we're to pray in a prevailing way for those we know and those we love, and maybe even some that we don't love, and that your mighty force of your Spirit would move in a convicting way on them and draw them to yourself and save them. And Lord, we love you today. Please allow your Spirit to rest on us. And as we sing, I ask you to let your searching eyes search through our choir, our praise team, our instrumentalist, Rick, John. And I pray that you would just search through them and Lord, remove anything in their hearts that displeases you and give them a fresh filling of your Holy Spirit and anoint them today. And Father, we just want to tell you we love you and praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
Pray with me, please. Gracious Heavenly Father, we're so thankful for this day and all the many blessings that you bestow upon us each and every day. Thankful for the ability to gather in this space and heard your word spoken and sang and lifted up. We thank you for the worship team bringing us into a spirit of worship. We thank you for the message that you laid on Pastor's heart. Father, please, we beg you, help draw us closer to you. We love you and praise you and ask all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.
So as you know, we've got the National Day of Prayer coming up. And again, want to encourage you to BYOC, bring your own chair and come and be a part of that with us over at the gazebo. And as you know, we host it every year here in the local downtown area. And our school comes over and sings. And we just invite some local politicians and pastors to come and want you to be a part of it and make plans to. It's during the lunch hour. So if you've got your notes, I'd like you to look there in the Heart publication at your notes. And I want us to read Luke 18:1 together. As today we're going to look at how to pray to change lives. We're going to look at how to pray for those around us, our family, our friends, neighbors, people we work with, and some of the things in Scripture that are pointed out for us to seek and to look for when we're praying for those that we know and love and praying for change in their lives. So if you've got your notes, or you can look it up, Luke 18:1, on the count of three, let's read it together. One, two, three. And he spoke a parable unto them to the end that they ought to always pray and not to faint. Now, who said that? Who? Luke. Jesus. Luke wrote what Jesus said. And so here the Lord Jesus said that you and I ought to always pray, right? How often would that be? That would be all the time. And he said, and not faint. Now, that doesn't mean just keel off on the floor. But that means don't get weak in it, don't get discouraged in it, continue and persevere, and especially if God's burdened you. Sometimes he'll burden us to pray for something, and it won't be an immediate answer. And then there's sometimes I believe that he burdens us to pray for something, and we never discern or perceive an answer to it. It's interesting, through the years I've had people, as you know, I've been pastor here in the 34th year this year, and as I've been going along with this, that I've run into off and on people that say, I'm bitter at God, I'm discouraged, some even to the point where they say, I hate God, because I asked him for this and he didn't do it. I asked him for my loved one and they died anyway. I asked for him to take this illness from me and I still have it. You know, I asked him to save my job and I lost it. You know, all of these different things in our life, and we say, or there's, I'm praying for one of my family members to get saved, and they haven't gotten saved, and I've been praying for years. I've shared the illustration of one lady on visitation down in Miami that I got to lead her husband to Christ, who was approaching death. He was on oxygen and heading that way, and she came into the living room where he was after he received Christ, crying, and he said, all women are emotional, you know. And she said, well, I've been praying for him to get saved for 63 years. 63 years, because she knew him when they were growing up, and she was praying for him. And I said, that's not emotional, that's commitment, you know. But it's interesting. Let me ask you this question theologically. Did Jesus have all of his prayers answered? Let's look at it and see. If you got your Bible, we'll do a couple of flips here. Hebrews chapter 5, verse 7. And it's talking about the Lord. In the days of his flesh, Jesus, he offered up both prayers and supplications with loud crying and tears to the one able to save him from death. And he was heard because of his piety. So here's Jesus praying with volume, loud crying, deep emotions. I mean, fully committed, praying for God that to save him from death. And what does the Bible say happened when he prayed? And he was heard. He was heard because of his piety. Well, if anyone's ever had piety, it was Jesus, the sinless, perfect Son of God. We can't qualify that way for prayer ourselves. You know, we're not gonna meet that threshold. And then we see also in Scripture that it talks about in Matthew 26 or in John 11, 41 and 42, Jesus said this about his prayers with God the Father. And he said, and so they removed the stone, and Jesus raised his eyes and said, Father, I thank thee that thou hearest me. So here he is raising his eyes up to heaven and in front of everybody so they could hear him. I thank you, God, that you hear me. And then we see that he says, and I knew that thou hearest me always, but because of the people standing around, I said it that they may believe that thou didst send me. And so here we see the Lord Jesus saying again, and it's said in Scripture, that God always heard Jesus, always. And by the way, when all of us pray, all of our prayers, all of our life, God has heard all of them. God hears them. He hears our prayers. And in Revelation, our prayers are described as incense that rises up. The prayers of the saints rise up like incense in the nostrils of God. So no matter what we're praying, no matter who we're praying for or what we're praying for, God hears them. Now, here's another interesting. Did Jesus have all his prayers answered? Matthew 26, 36 through 39. You could write this one down on your bulletin or in your Bible or look it up. Matthew 26, 36 through 39. And Jesus came with them to a place called Gethsemane and said to his disciples, sit here while I go over there and pray. And he took with him Peter and the two sons of Zebedee and began to be grieved and distressed. Deep emotions coming over the Lord Jesus. I mean, filled with grief, filled with anxiety and distress. Then he said to them, my soul is deeply grieved to the point of death. Remain here and keep watch with me. And he went a little beyond them and fell on his face and prayed, saying, "My Father, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. Yet not I as I will, but as you will, as thou wilt." So here we see the Lord dropping down, praying, filled with anxiety. How much anxiety did he have? It's described in the Gospels that literally he was so overcome with the emotions of what was in front of him. Golgotha, death on the cross, the sins of billions and billions of people poured out on him, that great drops of blood were popping through the pores of his skin. He was having such anxiety that his capillaries were bursting as he was praying. And he was saying, "God, God the Father, Father, my Father, take this cup from me." Did God take the cup from him? No. So here's one example where even Jesus's prayers were not answered. Now, if Jesus, being the perfect, sinless Son of God, can have prayers that aren't answered, are you any better than him? I want an answer, yes or no? No. We're not any better than he is. So get over it if you think he's not listening, or if your loved one died. Many of you prayed for my sister to be healed, and a year ago at Easter, she died in South Africa and went to heaven. I'm not bitter at God. In fact, I'm grateful now that she's completely safe. South Africa's kind of dicey, especially for a white missionary. And she is safe, safe, safe in the hands of Jesus. So I'd like for us to look at a passage together that encourages us how to pray for the lost around us and for those around us. And in fact, you can pray this prayer. I'd encourage you, pray it for Kim and I. Pray it for my family. I'd love for you to pray this for me. So if you've got your Bible, look with me in Colossians chapter 1, the epistle of Colossians chapter 1, beginning in verse 9. Here the Apostle Paul said, "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we have not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will, of God the Father's will, in all wisdom and understanding, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord, to please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of him, strengthened with all power according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. For he delivered us from the domain of darkness and transferred us to the kingdom of his beloved Son, in whom we have redemption, the forgiveness of sins, and he is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation." Here we see in this passage a prayer the Apostle Paul prayed under the inspiration of the Holy Spirit. And it could be a template, a guideline, a blueprint for you and I as we pray for others. First of all, we see that we're to pray that they may know the purpose of God in verse 9. "For this reason also, since the day we heard of it, we've not ceased to pray for you and to ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will," the knowledge of God's will, the will of God. A lot of times people will ask, through the years, how do you know the will of God? What is the will of God? Well, one thing, if you read your scriptures, if you do a daily devotion and read the Word of God, emotionally you're going to be blessed. You'll stay younger, longer, physiologically. There's studies now. Your life will have a tranquility with it that others don't have. There'll be an emotional maturity and patience and peace and joy in your life. But you'll also know the will of God. Because over and over again in Scripture, and this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. And this is the will of God. God is not willing that any should perish. Well, that's the will of God. Should I pray for this person to get saved? God is not willing that any should perish. Yes, you should pray for that. Well, maybe they're reprobate. Well, maybe they are, but that's between them and God. You pray anyway. I mean, if I could witness to any evil person on earth, I mean, if I could have witnessed to Ayatollah Khomeini before he got a bunker buster dropped on his house or whatever happened, I would have shared Christ with him. If I could have witnessed to Hitler, I would have shared Christ with him. I would have tried to witness to him. There's nobody on earth that I wouldn't try to witness to and pray for them to get saved, for the grace of God to move on their life. So there's the idea that you and I need to pray that they would understand the purpose of God, the will of God, the direction of God, what God wants to do in their life. Now, in this, we see that there's two terms in this verse. It says, the knowledge of his will in all spiritual wisdom. This particular word, the word is Sophia, like the girl's name, Sophia. And it means spiritual wisdom. It's insight into the true nature of things and the ability to apply spiritual truth to life. It's practical understanding. And wisdom is practical knowledge. It's knowledge that works. If you have knowledge to do something and you don't do it, then that's not Sophia. That's not practical applied wisdom. Years ago in 2008, we had that financial downturn. I was talking to one of our members. Well, actually, it's Tom Snipes, Darren's dad. And I said, Tom, the Ford stock right now is $1 a share. It's cheaper than a gallon of gas. And Tom said, well, Pastor, how do you buy some? And I said, well, you either contact Ford and buy some shares, or you open a trading account and buy some. That's the two ways I'm familiar with. Or you go to a broker and pay a hefty fee and buy some. And he said, we need to do that. And I said, we do need to do that. I didn't do it. He didn't do it. And then right after that, Ford went up to $35 a share. And Tom said, oh, my gosh, why didn't we buy some Ford? Well, everybody that's bought stocks will look at that and understand that and think about that. Well, it trimmed off again with COVID, and it went down to like $4 to $7 a share. So Tom talked to me again, and I bought some. Kim bought some. Tom bought some. And it right now it's $12, $13 a share, but it went up better than that. Well, Sophia is what we did the second time, not the first time. We had the same knowledge both times. But Sophia is when you actually put feet to your action and your understanding, and when you do something about it. It's not enough just to know. What do they say that the road to hell is paved with? Good intentions. That's not Sophia. Oh, I knew I needed to get saved. Lord, you're standing at the white throne judgment for the lost. Lord, I knew I should have. I heard the gospel. I went to church or whatever, you know, whatever it was. I was born in a pastor's family, whatever it was. Please, one more chance. No. In my scriptures, it said it's appointed unto man once to die, and after this, the judgment. You've already died. Now you're in the judgment. Sophia is where you say, I hear the gospel. I'm going to respond to it. I've got that insight, and I'm going to put my feet to it. I'm going to do something about it. And he says, not only here are we to pray for that, for them to have Sophia, that kind of knowledge, wisdom, but understanding. This is sunesis is the word, the Greek word. And sunesis means to understand, bringing together. It's when we say that we're making connections or connecting the dots. And that's what this is, and we're to pray that. It's discernment. Brother Bobby, my pastor in Memphis, said if he could start one movement to challenge the charismatic movement seeking the gift of tongues and that he would actually start a movement for people to be seeking the gift of discernment, to be able to see through and understand, to see through and actually make connections, to connect things. Oh, okay. Cause and effect. It's an idea of discerning, to see into the intentions, to see into the direction and the final result. So we're to be praying this for those around us as they understand the will of God with Sophia and Sunesis. Number two, pray that they may live a life praiseworthy of God. In verse 10, so that you may walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. Now, one understanding of this word, it's axios, A-X-I-O-S, and this word means, has an idea of weight to it, the weight of a feather or the weight of a dumbbell. Weighty. God carries weight. He's praiseworthy. And because he's praiseworthy, he wants us to be praiseworthy. And this is worthy, fittingly, living a life that fits the purpose, fits the cause. It's suitable and it's pleasing to the Lord. I don't know if you ever do this, but I'd like to encourage you to do this. I mean, on a daily basis, I'd like to encourage you to try to look at your life through God's eyes. How does God see me today? How does God see my activities? How does God see my priorities? How does God see my life? I mean, in our country today, we'd say someone is a tremendous out-of-the-box Christian if they come to church every Sunday morning for a couple hours. Is that really out-of-the-box Christianity? And then they go home and live like all their neighbors, do the exact same things they do, have the same priorities they have, and go through the exact same thing. And so we need to say, is my life weighty? Is it fitting? Is it suitable? Is it pleasing to God? Is God looking down and saying, well done, my good and faithful servant? We should all be striving for that. We should all be looking for that. That should be our goal at the end of our life, is for God to say that he was pleased with us. We're pleasing unto the Lord. Number three, pray that they may live productive lives. Look in the second half of verse 10. To please him in all respects, bearing fruit in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. A productive life. Now, I'd like to ask all of you, if you would, to take your notes and turn that note sheet over on your Bible or on a hymn book in front of, well, there's not a hymn book in front of you, but on your hand or whatever, something. And I'd like you for just a moment, I'd like for you to think about the most important things you've ever done in your life, just two or three of them. And if you say, well, I don't want anyone to see this, then think of it in your mind at least. And I want you to think about, let's think about this. What if the Holy Spirit this afternoon was to whisper to your heart and say, this is your last week. I'm calling you home at the end of the week. I did a funeral this week. I was called by one of the funeral homes to do a funeral for a sweet lady that I had never met. In fact, she doesn't have any family left. She was in her mid-80s and no family at all. Not around, not only not around, not at all. And so two of her friends from the assisted living where she lived, they actually put on the funeral for her. She had prepaid for a funeral, and so they saw it through. So I asked David to go with me, a staff member, and so David and I went. So there were four of us at her funeral. And I could see they brought pictures that were framed the significance of her life. There was a picture of her holding a wahoo. Now, I was impressed. It was longer than my leg. This is not a fisherman's story. I saw the picture. And I love to fish. I've fished a lot outside in the ocean. I've never caught a wahoo. I've had some of them. They swim 45 miles an hour, and they'll tear the downrigger off of the line. They'll break lines. They come by like a freight train, like a NASCAR. Well, she had caught a wahoo, and she had actually worked on a fishing boat as the cook. And they were used to, in the past, having the galley just make them peanut butter and sandwich. And she made them egg salad, chicken salad. She was over the top. But as we were rehearsing, and I'm saying, well, I want to know something about her spiritually. Well, she did read her Bible. She was Baptist. That's why they called you, Pastor. And I've heard her pray and seen her prayer. Well, have you heard her testimony? I've never asked her that. So from what they shared and what they gathered, she was a believer. She was a Baptist, and higher percentage of Baptists get born again, get saved because of the emphasis in our denomination. But what is the significance of your life? If you were to die right now and leave this life, what have you left behind in the name of Jesus? What is the significance? And so when you think about that for your life, and if you say, you know, I can't really think about it. I mean, I love my family, but, you know, and I have gone to church. I'm in church now. But, you know, we should all think about that. I mean, I've spent most of my adult life thinking about that question. It's one of the reasons I do what I do. It's one of the reasons I'm the soul winner that I am, because of that question. And so here we see that we're to pray and ask God that they may live a life praiseworthy of God, and that they may live a productive life, a life that is productive for the kingdom of Christ. I was thinking about this week a mission trip that we had for our church, and we've had a lot of them. And in this trip, we went to Brazil, and I've always appointed a team manager, a team administrator for each of our trips. So we had a businessman in our church who was our team administrator, and he was to make sure that everything was in order with our plane tickets and connections and luggage and, you know, those logistical things. And so on this trip, we got delayed flying out of our city of origin to go to our connecting city in North Brazil. And we got there late, and our flight departed for the United States, our international flight. And so they said, we can only get six of you out. And there were about three dozen of us. And we can only get six out, and the rest you're going to have to stay, maybe even almost a week. That's quite a delay. Well, our trip administrator was the businessman. He said, well, I've got to get back. So he left us. So several members said, what kind of a trip administrator leaves you in the lurch? You know, that kind of thing. And I talked him off the ledge with that. And here's what happened. We stayed, and they scheduled us in schools, in these public schools the week we were there, and we prayed with 3,500 students to receive Christ that week. Can I hear an amen? And I've thought about that time and again. It was a delay for us. Most of the people, fortunately, on the team were retired. But because we were delayed, 3,500 students all the way from middle school up through college gave their life to Jesus. So it really wasn't a delay. It was the main part of the mission trip. Our life is like that. Invariably, when you're delayed or when something happens, Just share your testimony. Talk to somebody about Jesus. You'll be shocked how many times that was why you were delayed anyway. And here we see the productivity of our lives. Number four, pray that they will grow in their personal knowledge of God. Epigenosko is the word, and it's like an overflowing knowledge. Gnosis is knowledge, an understanding. It's full, precise, complete knowledge, experiential in nature. It's contact knowledge. It's actually the knowledge that is based not just on intellectual, but it's experiential. This is not knowing in your head, but knowing in your heart. And so he says, pray that they will be filled with this personal knowledge of God in the last half of verse 10, bearing fruit in every good work, increasing in the knowledge of God, in their personal relationship knowledge of God. Now, you could know about a person, a famous person, or then you could get to know a person personally. And there's a big difference. There's a big, big difference. And so this is what we're to pray. Pray that they would have, an experience with Christ, but then secondly, that they would grow in their knowledge of him as they go. Number five, we see, finally, pray that they will be filled with the power of God, verse 11, strengthened with all might, according to his glorious might, for the attaining of all steadfastness and patience, joyously, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to share in the inheritance of the saints in light. Strengthened with power according to, measured by, from the resources of God the Father. Let me ask you, how powerful is God? How powerful? All powerful. Now you say that, but what kind of power is that? He says, I want to strengthen you according to this power, the power that I have. Now, on Easter, we looked at the Shroud of Turin. I'm constantly looking at things relating to that, and I saw something recently where some physicists and electro engineers said that they've been able to produce a little bitty burn like that image on cloth, and they said the energy it would have taken to print the cloth that size, 14-foot linen, was 30 billion kilowatts, 30 trillion kilowatts, which they can't do. Nobody can do that. Nobody can focus that much power. And we see here that God says, this is the kind of power I have. I can focus 30 trillion kilowatts for one half of a billionth of a second and make a print in a cloth. I can create the universe, the ever-expanding universe, with just my faith and my word, speak it into existence out of nothing. That's what I can do. And he says, let's pray that God would give us that power. We're going to get to heaven and find out that we were living powerless when you and I, each one, are a nuclear generator. We're going to find that out. We're going to get to heaven. He's going to say, this is the power that was available to you, and you didn't use any of it, or hardly any, just a little. And so we need to recognize this, and we need to pray this for others. We need to pray it for ourselves. We need to pray it for the lost that are around us. And then he talks about all the benefits that will pour out of that. It's to deal triumphantly with anything life brings against us. Hupomone is the word. And it's not just to bear fruit, but to turn it into joy, to attain steadfastness, fortitude, and endurance. Jerry Falwell used to tell us all the time at Liberty, we don't measure success or greatness as the world does. But instead, we do that by, not by their talent or their wealth, but rather what it takes to discourage them, what it takes to make you give up. Now, I don't know what you think of President Trump, but if there's ever been a determined person overcoming, look what he's overcome to be reelected president of the United States. I've heard many strong men on the news cycle say, last couple of years ago, all the way through to his first term, if I were him, I'd be in a corner crying, sucking my thumb. And yet, he just pushed right on through like a bulldozer. And we see here that he said, Dr. Falwell said, it's what discourages that measures you, not your wealth, your fame, you know, any of these other things. And then we're to attain patience, macrothumia. It's fortitude that no situation can defeat or person can remove. What does it take to discourage you? What does it take in each one of your lives that would cause you to turn on Christ or deny him? What, in a practical way, causes you to deny him on a daily basis? He keeps speaking to your heart to talk to people, to a certain person, and you just won't do it. Years ago, when I was a youth pastor at Oak Haven Baptist Church, there was a girl that had worked in the bus ministry there named Kathy and her husband. And I, one Wednesday night, she came up to me after our midweek Bible study prayer time, and she was crying. And I said, "What's wrong, Kathy?" And she said, "My father just died, in the last couple, 2 or 3 weeks. And I said, "Oh, I'm sorry to hear that." And she said, "That's not what I'm crying about." I said, what are you crying about?" She said, "For months and months, almost a year, God kept laying on my heart to go and witness to him." And I just thought, I'll get around to it, but I don't want to offend him. I don't want to get into that. Over and over again, Pastor, that she was feeling this from the Spirit of God, the Spirit of God laying this on her heart. Talk to her dad. And she said, then all of a sudden, I mean, he wasn't sick. There was no prolonged illness. He just had a stroke and suddenly died. Very active. And at the funeral, I was talking to my aunt, his sister, who's a godly Christian, and she mirrored my exact experience. She said for months and months and months, the Spirit of God had been laying on her heart, talk to your brother. And she said, thought the same thing. I'll get around to it. He's strong and healthy. I don't want to get into it. I don't want to argue with him. And then suddenly died. She said, "I've got to believe there are a bunch of believers around his life and the Lord saying, talk to him. And they're all saying thinking the same thing. I want to tell you something. I know for a fact, as I'm standing here today, that in this room, there's some of us here that have had the same experience over and over and over again, and we didn't do anything about it. We need to have a perseverance, hupothumia. We need to have this overcoming perseverance that won't be discouraged, that won't be shut down in our walk with Christ, in our testimony with Jesus, a steadfastness. And he says that if you have that, it'll produce joy in your life. And then we will attain not only patience, but we'll attain an inheritance of joy that's not rooted in the soil of suffering. And so we see that in Scripture, God wants to give us a great joy in our life, and we're to pray that for others. I'd like to ask all of you, and I've done this before several times in my life. I did it at my first church in a very rough neighborhood, at Gardens Baptist in Hollywood, Miami Gardens community, rough neighborhood. And I made a list of 10 people in the neighborhood to pray for, 10 men, 10 families. And I prayed for them every day for a year. And what was odd, well, not odd, but true, is that over that year, I had the opportunity to lead half of them to Christ. And since that time, I've heard of several others giving their life to Christ. And I'd like to encourage you to do the same thing. Each of you, make a list. Put your 10 most wanted on there. Pray for them every day. For God to, someone to speak to them, you to speak to them, someone to speak to them. And for God to save them, convict them, draw them. And as we pray for others and we pray for changed lives, can I hear an amen? Let's bow together in a word of prayer. Father, I just want to thank you for your word. I thank you for the guidance you give us as we pray for each other, pray for others. And I ask you, Almighty God, if you would from heaven, to just breathe on us as a fellowship, First Baptist Church of Stuart, our body, our fellowship, that you would just breathe on us through your powerful Holy Spirit. And I pray that you would give us your power according to your power. I pray, Lord, that you'd give us knowledge. And Father, that you would help us to experience you in a real and living and personal way. And I pray, Lord, if there's anyone sitting in this room right now that has heard about you all their life, but they're not really born again, that you would open their eyes today as only you can do with your convicting spirit, your drawing spirit, your loving, gracious spirit, and draw them to yourself. With our heads bowed and eyes closed, as the Lord is watching and the Spirit is present, I'd like to ask you to be sure of your salvation, to be sure of your relationship, that you'd have that experiential knowledge, and that you would just say, Almighty God, please allow your Son Jesus to invade my life and take control of it, and forgive me and cleanse me and live through me. Thank you, Lord, for being there. Thank you for being real. Thank you for being alive. Thank you for being all-powerful. Please, Almighty God, come into my life and cleanse me. In Jesus' name. Amen. So we're going to open up the invitation again as we do and invite you to respond to God. He may be speaking to your heart about several things. Maybe he's talking to you about giving your life to Jesus. Maybe you just did and you need to follow the Lord in believer's baptism. Maybe he's speaking to your heart about being a member of this local New Testament church. However he's speaking to your heart today, we want to encourage you to come. And you may ask the question, I've had this question asked recently, how do you become a member at First Baptist? You take the little heart publication, fill out that form with your personal information, and come forward during an invitation so our family can acknowledge you, pray for you, encourage you. And then also, we will baptize you if you haven't been baptized. We will have new member classes. And four of them over a quarter, and want to encourage you to come and take part in that as well. And follow the Lord Jesus. Serve him with your gifts in a supernatural way. Let's stand together and sing, and you come as God speaks to your heart.
My name is Karen Grantham, and I have the honor to be the director of First Baptist Christian Preschool Program. We have been in existence for over 40 years. First Baptist Christian Preschool proudly serves children from infants to 4 years of age. The core values of the preschool are rooted in Jesus Christ and are implemented in every activity. The preschool uses the nursery to pre-kindergarten curriculums published by Abeka Book and We Learn. These curriculums cover a variety of subjects and encourage the joy of learning and exploration. We offer the free voluntary pre-kindergarten program for the four-year-olds. Preschool hours are Monday through Friday, 6:45 a.m. to 5:30 p.m. You can reach me at 772-287-7793. For additional information, visit our website at www.fbcs-stewart.org and select the preschool tab. It has been a privilege to serve God here at First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 22 years, and I am excited to see God at work in our church and school.
Hi, my name is Allie Blackwell, and I'm the principal of First Baptist Christian School, home of the Warriors. Our school is a ministry of First Baptist Church of Stewart and was established in 1974. We have been fully accredited through ACSI, Association of Christian School International, since 1999. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. We offer exceptional student education that are part-time and full-time services through our Strive program, Talented and Gifted program, Honors and AP Middle School program, and High School Dual Enrollment. Our Strive program serves grades 2 through 5 to include specialized teaching, teaching students how to reach their full potential. Strive offers pull-out and exclusive programs during normal school hours. Our TAG program is available to nurture academic excellence of the gifted students and to increase student achievement. It is recognized that gifted students have unique abilities, values, needs, and talents. The program is designed to aid in the optimum development of students' emotional, social, intellectual, and spiritual capabilities. In middle school, we offer honors and advanced placement in 6th through 8th grade math and English language arts. Our high school offers a variety of online courses and dual enrollment with Indian River State College. There's a combination of classroom and computer direct study in most subjects. In addition to academics, we offer competitive sports through our athletic programs, and we participate with the Treasure Coast Athletic Conference. First Baptist Christian School is committed to academic excellence through a biblical worldview by teaching critical thinking skills, reaching the heart, and inspiring student leaders who will impact their community for Jesus Christ. To schedule a tour, call us at 772-287-5161. For more information about our school, please visit us on Facebook or school website at www.fbcs-stewart.org. The Lord has placed an exciting vision in the hearts of our teachers, staff, school committee, and I am confident that He will continue to bring this to fruition. My family has been a part of First Baptist Church of Stewart for the past 20 years and has been richly blessed to be a part of this family. We would love for you to join us. May God bless you and your family.
My name is Tom Snipes, and I'm a member of First Baptist Church of Stewart. I am the Life Group Bible Study teacher for the senior adults. I've attended Bible study class all my life and have learned a lot about the Bible, but there's still a lot more I need to learn. I've heard some people say that the Bible is easy to understand. I'm not sure I agree with that because I find a lot in the Bible that I don't understand. That is why life group Bible studies are so important. We all need to read and understand the Bible, and how can we understand it if we don't study it? As a teacher, I have to study hard if I'm going to effectively teach those in my class. Each Sunday, we study topics with life application and have question and answer time for discussion. As Christians, we need to grow spiritually, and the way we do that is to spend time studying the Scriptures. We enjoy studying the Bible with each other, and Sunday morning life group Bible study is a valuable way to learn more about the Bible. Pastor Darrell asked me about 17 years ago if I would consider leading the senior adult life group class. I told him I would pray about it. I did pray about it, and God impressed upon me that I needed to say yes. In these 17 years, I have learned so much and have been blessed to lead this life group for the glory of God. I want to invite you to come and be a part of our life group Bible studies, beginning at 9 o'clock each Sunday morning. We also have life group studies for all ages. I do hope you will consider checking us out and experiencing our love for you and Jesus. I look forward to meeting you and making some new friends.
Reborn Youth Ministry is for students in 6th through 12th grade. We invite students each Wednesday night from 6 to 8 p.m. to get up, get out, and get moving. Students will hear high-energy Christian music and messages straight from God's Word that they can apply to their lives, relevant to issues they face each day. Friendships are formed through team-building games, sports, art, and service projects, and special events throughout the month. If you or a teen you know is looking for a Christ-centered, safe, and friendly environment, please check us out. On Sunday mornings, we offer a life group for our students at 9 a.m., and invite them to join our worship service right afterwards.
Hello, my name is Colleen Highstone. Our church is a family, a fellowship, and a body of believers. We study God's Word together, we worship together, pray together, serve together, rejoice together, and support each other. If I had to use only one word to describe our church, it would be loving. I count myself blessed to be a member of this church. See the faithfulness of our church family in supporting our many church ministries, which includes this weekly radio broadcast. As the Bible says in Matthew 6:21, where your treasure is, there your heart will be also. Our church motto is connecting people to Jesus and one another with love. Our church members live that out every day. If there's any way we can serve you or your family, don't hesitate to give us a call. We'd love to meet you and invite you to join us on Sunday mornings as we worship our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ.
This is Pastor Daryl Orman, and I just want to thank you so much for joining us today. And we really appreciate you spending time with us as we get into God's Word each week. We've had the opportunity now to broadcast with WCNO Radio since 2004. And I've run into a number of people in the community that said, Pastor Orman, we listen to your broadcast. God speaks to our heart, blesses us as we get into the Word with you. And we'd like to give you the opportunity to help us keep this broadcast on the air and to keep it going. And we'd like to make it available for you to help underwrite us in this effort to share the gospel and to share the Word of God. And if you'd like to help and give, we'd like to encourage you to visit our website at fbcstewart.org and click the Giving tab, and it'll give you an opportunity to give to this ministry. Or if you'd like to mail, if you're analog like I am, if you could mail your gift to 201 West Ocean Boulevard, Stewart, Florida, 34994, and make that care of First Baptist Church of Stewart. We would really appreciate your help in assisting us with this ministry to enable us to keep broadcasting and to keep sharing the Word of God and preaching the gospel of our Lord Jesus Christ. We love you and thank God for you and look forward to hearing from you. And also, if you'd like a copy of our messages, just contact us as well. And for any gift, we'll be glad to send you a copy of one of our messages. Just request the title of the message and we'll get that in the mail to you. God bless you. Thank you so much for worshiping with us. We love you and thank God for you.
Testimonies feed my faith. I love to hear about miracles. Do you too? Well, you can listen to my show. I'm Rhett Palmer. It's a new day every day at 7 a.m., 3 p.m., and 3 a.m. right here on WCNO 89.9 on your FM dial.
Hi, this is Apostle Joyce Cranfield with the Rosa Sharon Radio Broadcast. Join me each Saturday at 8:45 a.m. on WCNO to hear a message from the Word of God. Free time.